God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Dear friend and brother Rich, who has been putting the messages up for us, putting them online for us and doing that, he sent me something yesterday. He said, I thought you wanted to see this. We have uploaded 500 messages. Praise God. And people listen to them. Right, Sue? When Sue first came to join us, she said, I'd been listening to your messages online, figured may as well show up. There are people throughout the country. And praise God. I've got absolutely nothing to do with it. It's got to be God. I'm a guy from the swamps. I literally grew up in the Everglades. But God had a plan, and God has a plan for each and every one of us. So I want to talk about the abundant grace of God this morning. We are recording. Good. I want to talk about the abundant grace of God. Today is Father's Day, June 17th, 2023, for those listening online. 18th. Yesterday was the men's breakfast, the 17th. Praise God. Remember me telling you I'm not perfect? Throw that out there. Not even close. But God had his abundant grace shed abroad in my heart. I got an opportunity about a week ago. I don't remember where I was now, but I had an opportunity to share when God first called me to preach when I was 12 years old and how I should have died. I was bitten by a cottonmouth moccasin in a sugarcane field. And I sent my brother and my cousin to go get help because I never expected to live through it. But God had a plan. And I would love to tell you that I served the Lord faithfully from 12 years old until now, but that's just not true. But God is faithful, and God never forgot about me, and God never stopped drawing me. Me standing here today is the abundant grace of God. Me standing today, anywhere, is the abundant grace of God. Me breathing air is because of God's abundant grace. Because if he was done with me, I'd have been gone a long time ago. I've had too many things happen that should have taken my life or should have crippled me for me to be able to stand here unless God had a plan. And when you look back in your own lives, I'm sure there are things in your own life where you can recognize God's hand was with me. God was involved. God had a plan and a purpose. The abundant grace of God that allows us to still be breathing air means he's not yet finished. There is more God would have us to do. There is a path he would still have us to walk. God said in Jeremiah, 31:3, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. Praise God. Romans 5, beginning with verse 17. This kind of picks up where we left off last week. Though I do that once in a while, not all the time. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We've received the abundance of grace in our life because of Jesus. Scripture says we can now boldly go before the throne of grace because we go in through the provision of Jesus. He has made the way through his own flesh. The veil to make the way into the Holy of Holies is through Jesus. Without going through Jesus, we can't get to God. That's what the Bible says. We've talked quite a bit on Wednesday night and other things. And in fact, I mentioned it this past Wednesday night. I believe the Bible to be true. Every time I've experienced anything from the Bible, it has been correct. When I tried to stand on a scripture, when I've tried to see God has shown himself faithful, I believe the Bible to be true. Yet I know people who don't. And one of the people, many of them I'm sure, but at least one of the people that I know who doesn't believe the Bible to be true claims salvation based on a verse. Well, how can you believe this one verse is true if you don't believe the whole thing is true? How can you do that? But every time something is checked, there's still, you know, archaeological finds are taking place all the time that actually prove the Bible is true. Prove something that was in the scripture actually took place. And that's been going on at least for 100 years. Different ones have come up. So back to the scripture. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. I am not the person that I used to be, because Jesus changed my life. I'm sure that's your testimony as well. As you look back, you see where you were when God got a hold of you. Now, I mentioned Rich earlier. I've heard him say this actually different times when I've been traveling and he was filling in the pulpit and preaching. I've had him on tape say it several times that he is so grateful he does not have a testimony like mine. He never ran from God like I did. He came to the Lord in his teens and has been serving the Lord now. He's 6 months older than I am. He's followed the Lord all the way through. And he is so grateful for that. Amen. I am too. I am grateful that that's the path that he walked on. I look back at my life and there are so many things, so many regrets where I wish things had been different. Last week we had a Keith Green song. Keith Green came to Miami when I was 17. And if I'd heard the message that Keith Green proclaimed in his concerts, I might not have turned and walked away from the Lord for 16 years. But that was not my path. My path led to the ways of destruction. My path led into an absolute mess. And to the point where I couldn't continue down that path anymore. I couldn't continue running from God anymore. I finally said, Lord, I've always known you're real. I just don't know how to live for you. But if you can do anything with this life, it's yours. God put me on the path that brought me to where I needed to be, to bring me to where I am now, to bring me to where he still has for me. And each of us, and that is the abundant grace of God working in my life, working in your life. Where has God brought you from? How has he shown himself faithful in your life? Because I will guarantee you he has. I've never seen anyone who can stand up and honestly say God is not faithful. I've seen a lot of people who can stand up and say they don't like what God allowed to happen. I can get that. But God is faithful. God is always faithful. He will never fail. And that is the abundant grace of God that has brought us to this point. He has brought us this far because he continues to carry us on. Not because he's brought us this far to leave us right here. But when the time comes, when we breathe our last breath, when we step from this world into the presence of God, he's right there with open arms. Because he is the one who keeps us. He is the one who leads us. Of course, I keep getting off track, keep getting out of scripture. Back to verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded even more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you pick up the newspaper, when you turn on the news, when you walk down the street and you see man's inhumanity to man, you see the wickedness going on around us, we see sin abounding, do we grab onto this scripture and realize that though there's turmoil, God's still at work? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. God is still at work even in the midst of the things going on. What's he doing? I don't know. One day I'll know, even as also I am known. I have that promise in Scripture. One day I will understand the path that I've been on. One day I will understand what God has allowed. But I know it is the long-suffering of God, just as God was patient with me in those 16 years of not darkening a church door. Just as God was patient with my brother in those 35 years, he was never sober until the time came when he gave his life around. God is patient. And how can I accuse God of just ignoring things when I don't know what's going on? God is the one who sees the end from the beginning. Andrew doesn't. Andrew doesn't even see the end from the middle. Sometimes we get to the end and Andrew didn't know what happened. It happens in all of us. God is the one who's seeing behind the scenes. If you've ever looked at the back of a tapestry or the back of an embroidery, unless it's something my wife did, because you look at the back of a tapestry of most things, you cannot figure out what the picture is on the front because there's a lot of knots and things like that. Now, Debbie does awesome work, and I made the mistake of saying that one time, and she says, not mine, so I had to bring it in and get a picture. Debbie does awesome work. You can figure it. It doesn't look as good on the back, but she does a very, very, very good job. What's that? And there are no knots. Praise God. The Lord blessed me with an absolutely wonderful wife. I am blessed beyond measure. Amen. Hebrews 4, beginning with verse 14, says, seeing then we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We come through Jesus to the Father. Jesus made the way. Scripture says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He endured the cross, despised the shame, is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and forever maketh intercession for us. Praise God. His plan and purpose. Jesus, before, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but it is for this purpose I came to this hour. Jesus knew what was before him. Jesus knew what was coming. He tried telling his disciples, we're going to go down to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me. But it's okay, I'll be raised from the dead. And the scripture says that the disciples pondered among themselves what raised from the dead meant. We look at the scripture, it's like, some things don't make sense. We look at things around us and we have things that don't make sense to our natural mind. That don't make sense to our experience. Because everything as we try to evaluate, as we go through life, our experience color how we understand things. Our experience forms a framework that we understand things in. But God is at work, and God is working in my life and in your life, showing his abundant grace, showing his grace to us. Deb, skip the next passage. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Yep. What has God done in your life? How has God shown himself faithful in your life? As you look back over your life, as you look back in your circumstances, as you find yourself in the midst of turmoil, who here has been in turmoil this past week? Praise God. God has continued to bring us through, continued to show himself mighty, continued to be at work. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talking to the Corinthian church, talking about what he said, sir. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. and that he was seen by Cephas, and then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you have believed. Paul said, I told you about Jesus. I told you he died according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to scripture. And he was seen by all of these witnesses. And Paul goes on to say, and last of all, he was seen by me. And I'm not worthy. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. Paul was on his way to Damascus with letters from the chief priest to round up the believers of, quote unquote, the way, those who followed after Jesus. He was on his way to round them up for persecution. And on the way, he met the Lord. And when he met the Lord, you know, the passage there in the book of Acts, and then later as he's talking about it, talking about the blinding light from heaven, and the voice said, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus who you persecute. He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks or against the goads, to kick against those sharp, pointy things. Why are you working so hard? Paul was causing havoc everywhere he went, but God had a plan for his life. Paul wrote about a third of the New Testament. Almost all of the epistles are written by Paul. Obviously, 1st and 2nd Peter aren't. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John aren't. Jude, James. The writer of Hebrews is kind of up in the air. There's a lot of opinions, but it's never actually said who the writer of Hebrews is. All of the other epistles Paul wrote. The teachings that we find in Corinthians, in Galatians, in Ephesians, in Philippians, all of this teaching came from a person who was persecuting Christians. But God had a plan for his life. The abundant grace of God shed abroad said, here's a person I can use, I just got to get his attention first. Look at your own life. Are you a person God can use because he's got your attention? And then look at the people around you that don't know the Lord. Imagine what God can do when he gets their attention. The abundant grace of God that was shed abroad in my heart, the abundant grace of God that was shed abroad in your heart, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How are we being lights? How are we being a witness? How are we being a signpost pointing the way to Jesus? And the other question is, how are we being a stumbling block, keeping people away? Because sometimes I am. Sometimes we all are. We get in the way of what God is doing when we look with our natural eyes. Samuel, God said, told Samuel to go to Jesse's house and anoint him a king from among Jesse's sons. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house and starts lining up the sons. Oh, here's a fine, strapping young man. Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. God says, nope. And he went through all of the sons in the house. And there was no, God's anointed wasn't there. So Samuel had to go to Jesse. Don't you have any more sons? He says, yeah, well, there's David, but he's out in the field. Jesse never even thought to call him. He was completely discounted. Yet that's who the Lord chose. We don't know what God's plan is for an individual, except it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But we do know the love and grace of God, his tender mercies, his long suffering, his hands are extended, and he's pleading, whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. Let us show the abundant grace of God, just as God has shown His grace in our hearts. Let us show that same grace to the people around them, to be a light, to be a witness, not to discount sin, not to condone anything, but to show the love of God, because as He has shown that grace to me, who used to persecute Christians, not to the extent Paul did, but I was sure quick to ridicule anybody that I caught messing up. Because I wasn't living for the Lord. I'd made a declaration, I can't do this, so I walked out of a church. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. So I was quick to point out when I thought somebody else was being hypocritical. Now, I have to recognize that the grace and love of mercy of God kept His arms extended toward me and kept drawing me by His Spirit. So that when I stopped running, when I finally reached the end of myself, when I finally said, I can't do this anymore, I've made such a mess of my life, I have no hope. If you can fix it, it's yours. It took me getting to that point, and it was a long, painful journey to get to that point. But the grace and love and mercy of God is that when I stopped running, He was right there. Think about that abundant grace that was shed to me, that was shown to you. And think about those people around you. Those people who don't know the Lord. Those people who are obstinate. Those people who are difficult. Are we being lights in the midst of the darkness? Final passage of Scripture, Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We are called to be ambassadors of heaven to this generation, to this state, to this community, to every place that we go. We are called to be salt and lights to the people around us. The Bible tells us we ought to be walk in wisdom. James says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. God doesn't give us a hard time or ridicule us for asking for wisdom. He gives it to us. If our heart is set, Lord, help me to be the light You've called me to be. Help me to show the grace that You've given me to the people around me. Help me to be the signpost pointing the way to heaven and not the stumbling block. Not the one that somebody can point a finger at and say, yeah, he pretends to be a Christian, but look at the way he lives. We are called to be lights in the men to display that abundant grace that God has shed abroad in our heart. Amen. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Father, for the admonition. We thank You, Lord, for the reminder. We thank You, Father, that You are the one who has shown us Your love and shown us Your grace and given us the command to show that love and grace to those around us. To show what great things You've done in our lives. Scripture tells us that You hold us up as trophies of grace, as examples of what You can do in a life. So help us, Lord, to be that faithful witness, to be that faithful ambassador, to be that faithful light. Father, work in us and work through us for Your good pleasure. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.